today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
But here's the thing. America. A ton of people have been Googling who was Francis Scott Key. If you don't know the details.
He's a world famous locksmith, Mike.
Wonder why you weren't summoned? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you know how to run cable.
I think that it is largely based on immense respect.
The only physical activity that I participate in regularly is an activity that can be pursued by fat people, people in wheelchairs, people with lost limbs.
Yeah, are you talking about podcasting?
I'm talking about golf, Rob Spivak.
Oh, okay, of course.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spivak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We're delighted to have you with us on a Wednesday show. If we can turn down the music a little bit right here, I want to open up with the...
No problem.
I want to open up with Baltimore because... when you hear this, and I'm sure you've probably heard it in a million different forums, but I wanted to play it for you. This isn't going to sound like much, but, you know, we have the opportunity on this program to really spotlight something, and I want to talk about it. So before I talk about it, this concerns the collapse yesterday of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And then all of us waking up to hear more details this morning on this. And I want you to hear something that is a little dramatic, but the lead-in with the first responders who simply did their jobs in the middle of the night when anybody could be effing off. It's just, it matters so much, and this is why... If you ever get tired of hearing tributes to the people that protect us, the people that rescue us, the people that are out there every day doing their jobs, the majority of whom are good, dedicated civil servants, mm-hmm. Take a listen to what might seem like an average piece of tape, but I just... So grateful for people like this. Take a listen to this.
Any one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
I'm en route to the south side.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. There's a crew up there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll ride up on the bridge.
C-13 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Do we know if all traffic will stop?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
C-13, I'm holding all traffic northbound.
You know, man...
I know, you know, they
hearing
only
that
had...
guy, it's not dramatic, he's not panicking, but that man right there doing his job... Doing it by the book. I bet there's not a playbook essentially.
Of course not.
There might be. There might be a protocol that if a ship is in distress, you immediately shut down traffic. But I want to tell you, you know, if it comes down to the fact that six people in that area were lost, and I got some thoughts on that as well, it's going to be people doing their jobs like that are responsible for it.
They only had 100 seconds to respond. If you think about that.
Incredible. And it makes me, you know, feel that pride. Feel pride for the people that do this. Feel pride mm-hmm. for the municipal, all the municipal workers up in Baltimore. And then feel sorrow and sadness for these people who are so maligned in our country. Mm-hmm. And there they were again. From Guatemala, from Honduras, from Mexico, doing their jobs. Who's going to work in the middle of the night filling potholes? It's the people who come to this country
right.
to get a better life for themselves. And I hope there are two things that happen out of this story. I hope two things come of it. A spotlight on just the exemplary ability to do a job, to do it quickly, to do what they were supposed to do, to perhaps nobody may ever know how many lives might have been or were saved. We might not know. But the fact is that tape made available, great journalism out there too, grabbing this stuff and putting it out there for public consumption and doing it. Let me give you the latest. You've seen the footage by now. The Baltimore Bridge collapsed. It's amazing. It's such a long shot too that, you know, once again, I don't believe you get a sense of just how massive that was.
Right.
The recap now, 984 feet. Long. That's how long the cargo ship was. Lost power and all controls, then rammed into a support pillar just before 1:30 a.m., middle of the night, Eastern time yesterday morning. Huge span of the bridge collapsed into the river 6 seconds later. The Francis Scott Key Bridge opened in 1977. That's an old bridge.
It is.
And the whole thing was over 1.6 miles long. Not all of it fell, but a huge section over the water did, the important part, the dangerous part. 3,300 feet of bridge, two-thirds of a mile. 8 construction workers were on the bridge when it fell. Last we heard, they were still looking for 6 of them. I believe that's now a recovery operation and not a rescue operation. They were repairing potholes, and it really, at this point, and Mac, you said you had a very late update, but I'm not sure.
I do not.
Okay. It doesn't look like any other vehicles were on the bridge, but they're still not sure. But it doesn't matter. Obviously, what was done right there, wow. I mean, got there hopefully on time. I look forward to hearing more about it.
The last thing I heard this morning, and it's sort of under the umbrella of a rumor that it could have had to do with tainted fuel or not appropriate fuel for the ship, and no follow-up on that, but that is one thing they're examining, and I can imagine that would be part of the fact that why it would cease to operate. I have two cuts, Mike, from Maryland Governor Wes Moore that I think are appropriate here.
Okay.
From his press conference yesterday. This is when he's talking about the original Mayday alert.
You know, we had a ship that was coming in at 8 knots, so coming in at a very rapid speed. You know, once the warning came up and once notification came up that there was a Mayday, literally by being able to stop cars from coming over the bridge, these people are heroes. They saved lives last night.
Amen.
I feel so weird about it because I wanted to make sure. I said, this doesn't sound like much because it sounds like just a guy doing his job. And they throw, you know, I think, unfortunately, the overuse of the word hero in the United States has, I think it trivializes what they did. Just the fact that this is a guy out there who did his job so efficiently. I mean, God, that makes me
spotlessly
happy and
proud.
Yeah,
he did it exactly
really.
Right.
And you hear the guy, and it's like, we got to do this. We got, you know, he didn't know.
No.
Nobody knew that bridge was going to come down like that.
No.
And it sucks for the pilot or the pilots, plural, that were on the container ship, too. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. Things could have been a lot worse if it happened during rush hour. The bridge can handle 30,000 cars a day. The cargo ship crew immediate, and they deserve credit for this. They immediately sent out a Mayday when their controls went, and you know, they only had about 100 seconds, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
President Biden said there's no indication that it was terrorism. I think that's, you know, relatively obvious now.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to do terrorists and say give them tainted fuel and then maybe the ship won't work and maybe they'll hit a pylon and bring the bridge down.
Right.
That doesn't work like that. He called on Congress to act to rebuild the bridge, major port. They have to do it. He noted the Port of Baltimore, one of America's largest shipping hubs. They've got 15,000 jobs that depend on it. It's blocked off indefinitely. You know, when you see the scale of it, the size of that bridge, just how big it is. Somebody said, well, I was talking to, you know, everybody was talking about this yesterday.
Of course.
And some people said, maybe, you know, maybe that part will be, you know, getting the debris out might be something they can do sooner than later. Down here in Florida, when we've had Ian, it's beyond remarkable what people are capable of doing. But when you look at that much debris, hopefully it can be, but no guarantees, especially when it's that much.
And as you said, Mike, there's no playbook for Baltimore here. Yeah. This is not something they ever anticipated happening. So I don't blame them for not having a plan B or C, because who would think this could happen?
Yeah. Traffic in Baltimore will be a mess for a while. The bridge was a major artery in and out of the city, as anybody up there knows. It's from our stomping grounds. We know it well. Thousands of people have to change their route and should expect their commute to take longer than usual for quite some time. But if you bitch about that, just thank God you're alive. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah, Governor Moore actually had a word to the people of Maryland and Baltimore that I thought was pretty encouraging.
Our state is in shock. To our first responders, I'm in awe of you. You saw a crisis, and you said, what can I do to help? And our response teams are doing everything in our power to rescue and recover the victims of this collapse, literally as we speak. All of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss, but Maryland, we will get through this, because that is the Maryland spirit, and that's what Maryland is made of. We are Maryland tough, and we are Baltimore strong.
So best to them getting through all of this, but that's this the right is,
attitude. And then one last little a smile for you at the end of this.
Okay.
But by the way, and it's never a good thing when people lose their lives, but I think this is an amazing, amazing win for the city of Baltimore, believe it or not. I really do. I know it's an amazing tragedy, but how responded to it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Is stunningly efficient, and it saved lives. But here's the thing. America. A ton of people have been Googling, who was Francis Scott Key? If you don't know the details.
He's a world-famous locksmith, Mike.
If you don't know that he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner, he was a lawyer from Maryland. He wrote it, and it was written. He wrote the lyrics to the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
The music was written by, I didn't know this, a British composer, John Stafford Smith.
If I'm not mistaken, the melody is actually a drinking song, a British drinking song that he assigned patriotic lyrics to. Yeah.
Oh, bring me a beer. I want to drink it. Now, I just, you know, down here, we probably were the last people in the United States outside of isolated tornadoes and wildfires to experience a major disaster that affected bridges.
Yeah.
And much different than the bridges you see up in Baltimore. This is the Sanibel Causeway Bridge that has been rebuilt now. And I just think that if you ever have a doubt about the quality of human beings in the United States of America, and when you hear us say we can do better, oh, boy, can we? We got great people out there that do their jobs at a high level and are trained to keep us safe and trained to do it. And I am so goddamn proud of what they did to avoid this. And I'm so happy that it wasn't a mistake on the part of the captains, the guys that they, think they're specifically trained to take those massive ships in and out of Baltimore.
Oh, the pilots.
Baltimore.
The pilots. Yeah.
But at the same time, I get back to that thing with, you know, all these guys were doing the jobs that, that a lot of people choose not to do. And that's the way it is down here, too. And that, for the longest time, I don't talk about it every day, but I, when you hear that among a certain subset of people, immigration is the number one issue, and it's the number one issue because it's been turned into an issue of hate.
Yeah.
And when you think about the most recent arrivals in the United States of America, many of whom do not speak our language, but they jump right in because they've got family networks and they've got ties and cousins and uncles and brothers that get them into immediate work situations. And it happens down here. And I'm talking about the individuals to a man that are immigrants that you see, recent immigrants that you see in 110 degree heat index on top of roofs, putting new roofs on, that you see doing every single bit of landscaping and outdoor work down here in Southwest Florida. And then to hear up in Baltimore that these were the guys in the middle of the night, the graveyard shift, the S shift, as it's probably known, out there doing their jobs. And they, so that people could be safer on the bridge and could make their commute. It makes, I think, everybody, it's time for everybody to pause for just a second and realize that people doing their jobs are human beings, good human beings. Doesn't matter where they come from. And F you if you want to, you know, blanketly label all people as bad for the United States, poisoning our country. Bull. It's bull crap.
You stated long before this that you feel that without the immigrants, that Florida would not have rebounded from the hurricane.
The Latin American immigrant community,
yeah,
in Southwest Florida, if they took one day and said, nah, not feeling it today, and decided collectively, were organized well enough that they would say, we're going to have a day of protest against all this right. anti-immigrant rhetoric. It would stop South Florida, not just Southwest Florida. It would stop South Florida in its tracks. And it's amazing how invisible these people can be. And they're not invisible to me. They're not invisible to me. The guys that are outside right now doing, and the ladies, a lot of women, a lot of mm-hmm. women in our crew down here that we have. And it just, spotlight that for a little bit, that there are
please.
Probably at least six families that have been ripped apart by this tragedy up in Baltimore, because they were doing their jobs. They took the jobs that would make a better life for them and their family. And I just think this is an opportunity to pause and remember that, you know, these are people that come into this country to just make a life, mm-hmm. to live like your ancestors did.
We all came from somewhere else.
So that's it. I just wanted to say that's my spiel on it. I'm just, there was news that I woke up to this morning, and so gratified that we woke up to the idea that this could have been so much worse than it was.
Yeah.
That is a big, big, big win. Very, very happy.
You're here.
That.
You're here.
Oscar is doing the move.
Right.
I am falling apart.
Oscar's not here?
No. Not because Oscar's not here. If anything, I look forward to coming in to see you. But Mac was telling me the move is rocking and rolling, Mac, and you're exhausted.
That is correct. I am very tired.
Mac, are you always tired, though?
Yes,
I mean,
that is true. I am always tired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're always tired. But, I mean, this was a lot of physical labor, I take it, running cable and things like that.
Yep. A lot of packing, moving, setting up, packing, moving, setting up.
And also, aren't you the designated cookie of the crew? Don't you have to provide meals?
Yeah, I provide the orange slices.
Very good.
And the Capri Sun.
Did you get yelled at at all?
Not really.
Anybody get yelled at?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. That's a win. That's another win for me. I'm very, very excited about
that. Mac, maybe you should yell at somebody today.
I will.
By the way, I wish I could be up there because I love doing it. I love moving studios.
Me too. I'm sorry I'm not there.
You weren't summoned.
No, and I offered. I said,
"You ever wonder why you weren't summoned? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you know how to run cable."
I think that it is largely based on immense respect.
Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
I don't, because it's such a blatant lie. I think that there are times that I'm useful, and I think there are times that I might be counterproductive. Now, Oscar and I
now,
work well
explain
together.
To me why you would be, I was down here, and I was the one not allowed to be in the room
right.
when you were setting up the facility down
now,
here.
If it's just Oscar and me, we do very well together. We're not the same person, but we tend to
Is it because
over-
you socialize if you're with other people?
If I were forced to figure out why I was disinvited, it would be the socialization issue. Because A, if I'm socializing, I'm not helpful, and I'm also pulling other people away from the cause.
Mac, any clarity on that? Do you have any theories on that?
Not really. I didn't know he was uninvited.
How did it go? I, of course, wouldn't ask. Did you say, do you need extra hands?
Yeah, I said, should I come in and, break down my office? Do you need any help? He said, no, it's covered. And I said, okay.
Did that make you feel bad?
No, made me feel great.
That's not true. You said you felt disrespected.
No, I said I felt disinvited.
I don't but, mean that you said that level
the,
of respect.
The respect joke was, that was simply a joke. That I would have some sort of, you know, someplace on the hierarchy where, well, don't ask Rob. No, no, he's too busy or he's too smart or he's too good. That is certainly not the case. It's because what I am, Mike, there are a lot of pluses at Podville, but I, at times, can be a minus.
Okay. And, you know, I think respect is important. And I know that communication is important. Mm. And every day when we do this show, after it's concluded, we get right to work producing, editing, and putting up for your consumption various forms of content
yeah.
that result from this show. And, you know, before I've even left the studio, you guys are coming up with a name for the show, what video you need or
right.
what photographs you need.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, if you tuned into yesterday's show, there was a lot of time spent on my left eye.
Yeah.
And, well, I'll give you
I
a
love
little
that movie, by the way, with Daniel Day-Lewis.
My Left Eye, just yeah. incredible. Academy Award winner.
It was, and he deserved every bit of it. Yeah.
So yesterday, if you tuned in, you would have seen me hit the Spanish Inquisition button and
yeah.
zoom in on my eye. Okay, here we go. Let's
okay,
see what happens if I can get it this time.
All right.
And obviously, it is not working.
Okay. How about is it Mike O'Mara's left eye?
No, it's not.
And the game was yesterday that we would say the word eye, and then Mike would have to do this a special effect that he designed for the podcast. And
oh, I know what happened.
What?
I rebooted the computer.
Oh, so the presets aren't there anymore.
Right. Now I.
But you could play the Inquisition sting so people know that.
I can zoom in. I can zoom
in. Okay.
Like this.
But
or
we
maybe
had the preset.
I can't.
Mr. Spielberg is on the line. He'd like to know how you pulled it off yesterday. And also yesterday, the first time you attempted to do it, you were using the wrong remote. Which was another stumbling block.
Double checking that right now. So, Rob, if you could
yes.
give a brief explanation of, you know, when you require something, you know, just the process of.
And you are.
Because I don't even know how it works as far as when you're grabbing something to put. There are a lot of different pictures.
Yeah.
There's a different picture associated with every show.
Exactly.
And we have to be very careful about proprietary material now, as the world does.
Sure.
And so just walk us through what you required. And I, because I want to, I think it's an example of how I treat everybody associated with this show with the utmost in respect.
I agree. And people should know that in the past, we've all been featured. All of our pictures have been featured as what is known as the thumbnail. For
Mac,
the video.
I think you were included on this text thread, were you not?
I believe so.
Okay, go ahead,
and,
Rob.
And so yesterday, Mike, you've always been so indulgent, and I appreciate that. 11:01 a.m. Eastern, I write, today's show is called An Eye for an Eye, because we focused on your eye.
Yeah.
Can you please send me and or Mac a good shot of your eye, please? Thank you, sir. And then a short 3 hours and 35 minutes later, the reply is no. And to which I reply, okay.
But you would think, Matt.
Yes.
Now look, one would think that there were two reasons. I couldn't, and
true.
B, I didn't want it up, right?
Oh,
mean,
then,
hey, dummies, let me ask both of you dummies. Wouldn't yeah. you think that the other reason was I spent enough time on this show and it's out there during this show that I perhaps was embarrassed of my eye and I didn't want it to be shown? Did that cross either one of your thimble brains yesterday?
No, what I thought is that you didn't want to do it.
No, I don't think like that. What I was saying was there was enough of my eye, and to be honest with you, I was in a place where doing that was not possible at the time. That's true.
Okay.
But the real reason you got the curt response was I didn't want my gross, nasty eye featured on our you know
but,
on our
but
show
you showed
pad.
It.
Or what's
you
it called? What's
thumbnail.
That? The thumbnail.
Thumbnail. But you showed your eye 47,000 times during
that's
the show.
True.
It was the core of the show.
And I did it.
It was the core of the show yesterday.
It was the core of the show, but at the same time, you know, the eye, it just, you know, it's a, and it's still, I said to Mac, Mac said he was tired when I came into the studio today.
Yes, he's always
and
tired.
And I said, well, Mac, yes. I'm feeling every day of my years on this planet, all right? I am now, all I do, the only physical activity that I participate in regularly is an activity that can be pursued by fat people,
mm-hmm.
people in wheelchairs,
yes,
people with lost limbs.
Yeah, are you talking about podcasting?
I'm talking about golf, Rob Spiewak.
Oh, okay, of course.
So I do not consider what I do physically to be an enormous physical strain on me. It shouldn't
right.
be. I will go now through in order of, probably in order of worst to most minor, the maladies I'm experiencing.
Okay, this is a new segment and I have music for it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome inside the mind of Mike O'Mara.
No, it's old music. I don't like old music anymore on the show. I want new.
What
Our listeners are clamoring for it, too. This is old music. Old music.
Don't be fussy at me.
I am being fussy because I need you to up your game and put and find some new stuff, like I always do from you. You give me new sounders all the time, like this one. This
yeah.
is one of my favorites. Hold on. All right. This is my new pick to click. I think Rob would agree with that, too.
Yeah. You are a blabbermouth.
And Rob sent that to me on his own. That's the kind of stuff I love. As far as the music, you know, yeah, we're stale in that department. We are. We're stale because Rob does it. And Rob likes the old and doesn't like the new. He doesn't like change. So using that music is, you know, I don't, if it's something that would be recent and medical, but let me get away from that.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know what? I didn't realize that Quincy was stale. I always thought that Jack
What do you
Klugman-
think, Quincy? What year...
Mike,
what
you,
year do you,
you
think
missed
that?
My ironic reference. I said,
Quincy.
I thought Jack Klugman is lit.
Is that what it was? I didn't even know that's what it was.
It was the theme to Quincy, yeah.
Jesus
he, Mac,
Christ.
Are you familiar at all with the show Quincy?
No, he's
never
not.
Never heard of it.
Okay,
no.
he's a coroner that lives on a boat and solves crimes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'm going to go through the maladies. All
okay,
right?
please.
Number one. This is the thing that's bugging me the most right now.
Yeah.
My left knee. I am wearing a little, you ever see those braces people wear where they've got a, it's, a, who's, la- were you laughing right away?
Yes.
Were you laughing right, why? Because I said brace?
Brace is
you
funny.
You immediately, I know where your brain went.
Brace is funny.
You immediately went to Forrest Gump.
Run,
right?
Mike, run.
Yeah. It's a little tiny, well, no. What year?
But we've never used it.
What
we've
year?
We've never used it for your melody.
You've used it.
I would say late 2000s, like 2009.
Is it ER?
It is.
All right,
pretty
it
good. Mac, are you buying it?
Sure. I'm just worried about copyright.
You're fine.
God. All right. Jesus Christ. Can you up your game too, please? You know? I'm trying to get everybody to liven up a little bit. Anyway, getting back to the brace. It's a little strap. You put it around under your kneecap. It's a...
made of like, leather and brass?
gifted to me by Joan Jett. No. That's, no. It's just a little thing. So today... I'm
well,
going
that
to
has to be
one.
That has to be bad because not only is it ongoing pain, but it's you have the reminder of the fact that you're wearing a brace,
but it's very minimum.
Okay.
It's minimal.
All right.
But my knee hurts like hell.
Of course.
Number one thing that hurts my knee. Yeah. All right. Now it's tough for me not to like this one. Is this Marcus Welby?
No, this is the theme to General Hospital.
Say
the,
that. But it's General Hospital.
The name of
that's
the
better.
Theme is,
that's better.
It's called Autumn Breeze.
That's better.
Okay.
Because I think that still has a medical connotation, even though General Hospital has been off the air for how many years now?
I don't know. But Mac, just take note. I always get it right the third time.
General Hospital I think, is a good theme for any time we discuss
Mike's maladies.
Max Medicine or Mike's maladies.
Yes.
So turn it off. Thank you.
Right. I have it standing by.
So the double brace, that's at number one. Number two, my bad back area, little area the size of a dime, had it operated on. I've gotten shots in it, gone to the chiropractor.
That big.
That you could put a finger on it, and I'd say that's where the pain emanates from. It definitely radiates out in different areas. Mm-hmm. And it is not debilitating enough to keep me from playing my favorite sport, but between the knee and the back, it's not all that pleasant. And
the back pain is sourced from the back. It's not like from a shoulder or a pinched nerve or anything that's manifesting itself in the back.
It's right at the same spot. I got a cortisone shot, anti-inflammatory inflammatory shot, maybe over 8 months ago that stuck and did well. I will be doing it again, but not anytime soon.
They hurt.
Because as you might remember, I happen to be between insurance situations right now.
Oh, I forgot about that, too. Yeah.
Insurance situations that may, in fact, be discussed during the segment we call Things We Don't Need.
Now, do you
Later in the broadcast.
Do you feel that the insurance situation, if you had it, would you go through with the cortisone right now? Because it is a painful shot.
Do you
want to
know how I really feel about the insurance situation?
Are we spinning out from this category to another
feature? I feel, excuse me, Rob. I feel, Rob, seriously, that as soon as I made the decision, that is, people say, oh, it's risky.
Yeah.
And my decision was after December, I paid a certain amount. They said, oh, no, that's not the current amount. It's this.
Right.
I said, that's more than you said. Yeah, we weren't able to get a lowering. And I basically told them to pound sand.
Yeah.
And I said, on June 1 of this year, 2024, I will be under the umbrella of Medicare and Medicare Advantage. And that's what I'm going to wait for.
It's just slightly more than 2 months away, Mike. You can see it. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
And I now... What that has done for me, it has made me acutely aware of the fact that there are teeny tiny little things that I perhaps take for granted that are covered by insurance.
Oh, so the effects are far reaching and you didn't realize it.
The eye, for example.
Yes.
That's the next in line after knee and back is the eye.
Yeah.
The eye, I am using lubricating gel drops in my eye right now. It feels better than it did yesterday at this particular
time. Are they prescription gel drops?
They are not. If I put a prescription in, it would be a steroid that they would put in my eye.
I see.
That's why I would come in and I would have one eye that looked normal and the other eye would look like the late, great Marty Feldman.
Yeah, Robert had a...
You know who Marty Feldman is, Mac?
You live, Mac?
We've lost him. Anyway, he's died.
Mac is off watching Young Frankenstein right now.
So you become aware when you don't have something that you can't run out and take care of something.
You don't know what you've got until it's gone.
So two things I would deal with right now. The back, I would probably be right about ready to make a phone call. Can't do it. No can do.
Not how about this?
I know how much it costs to get those little shots.
How about this? Have you even considered, and we've done this dance before, have you considered the snake oil of chiropractor? Chiropractory, I should say.
The only reason I haven't is because for this situation, I'm not 100% sure that it wouldn't work, but I'm almost 100% sure that it wouldn't. Yeah, I've done it. I've dealt with it.
It doesn't
fix it. With that said, between the back and the eye, I'm kind of going, oh, great time not to have. And so it's freaking me out just a little bit. And then the final thing, I get this little teeny tiny badly clipped middle fingernail.
Stop it.
Right over here.
Okay.
And
did you clip it?
I clipped them yesterday morning. Yes. And then I see, oh, that was, you didn't get that one spot. And what I do.
Oh, no.
Is I dig in and I kind of rip the corner up and.
You grab it in your teeth and you pull a cuticle out, essentially.
And
right?
I pulled a cuticle out and I have no idea. I have the worst cuticle situation, and I know it might not sound like poor baby, but I'm sorry, I have to give it to you honestly. That is the final piece of the puzzle, where it's pain, point to the knee pain, point to the back pain, and I feel, as I said to Mac earlier today when I came into the studio, Mac, I'm feeling every day of these 64 years on this planet. That's all.
Mike, overall, you're the healthiest you've been in years.
I am another new low weight today.
It's crazy.
It is.
When you see that number
on
the scale, when
it
comes up on the scales,
yeah.
Do you forget about the cuticle just for a moment?
It's the best part of my day.
Yeah. Oh, I thought
it's the
show.
It's the best part of my day. It starts the day with a win, and there's nothing like it. You know, to do that.
The show was the best part of your day.
It is not. But I love doing the show. I love being able to come in here every day and talk about things that can be funny,
yeah,
can be relevant, and get some stuff off my chest. I love that. I really, really, good, really do. And I was talking to Oscar yesterday, and he said the best part of my job. He said that. He's doing this move, and I would imagine Mac is Mac back in, by the way? Is he back in here, or have we lost him?
He is keyed in. I imagine he's probably been yanked out of the studio for some reason, because you know he's always quick to reply.
Yeah, I mean, it's not affecting our taping. That's all.
No, not at all.
Sure.
No.
But it is.
Sort of shows his importance, doesn't it?
What? You want to start that one again?
It sort of shows his importance, doesn't it?
Or his concern. Either one. That's
both.
The way I look at it.
Let's review.
But no, it is. It's the best to be able to come in and talk about Baltimore and talk about something that moves us like that. That guy there that did it was great. So we will take a break now.
Okay.
When we come back, we've got the round table. A little weird round table today.
Why?
A lot of stuff that isn't that nice. A lot of people behaving badly, and a lot of people reacting to that bad behavior. That's what we're going to have on the round table.
So
and then
the grease man would not say, ooh, that is nice.
Thank you for another old reference. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just old.
I know you are. Let's talk about naked wine, shall we?
Yes.
Carl and I are going to an actual wine dinner tonight. We like an occasional great bottle of wine. Naked Wines is really taking the world by storm. It's the subscription service that links you directly to the world's best independent winemakers. You can enjoy a case of top quality wines at a fraction of the store price, up to 60% off. You just answer a few questions when you order, and they will instantly match you with a perfect pour for your taste. The cabs I got were extraordinary, and in the off chance that you don't like a bottle, they'll give you a credit so you can find the one you love. So head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website, then enter TMOS for both the code and the password. That's easy. Just remember that. Use it for the code, use it for the password, and
yep,
you get six bottles of wine for $39.99. Try to do better with that. With the wine that is so fantastic, that's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. NakedWines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab six bottles for $39.99. NakedWines.com/TMOS, code and password TMOS for $100 off your first six bottles. Cheers.
Hey, look, it's the Kraken. He's old.
Yeah, you know, it's you try to be as youthful as you possibly can. When I said there are a lot of bad behaviors in the news today, we start with Will Smith and Jada. They are shutting down their charitable foundation, partly because donations have gone way down since the Oscar slap in 2022. This is a direct impact on how people feel about the star.
Yeah.
In 2021, the foundation took in $2.1 million. The following year, it was down to $365,000 and change. That's an 83% drop. A so-called source, you never know about that, claims that
Chris Rock
and Will and Jada were winding the foundation down anyway.
I don't know about that.
And wanted to concentrate on personal charitable donations instead. Now, records show that in recent years, the foundation gave thousands to shady mental health organizations and spent funds on office equipment, computers, and, quote, bank overdrawn fees. So I don't know whether that's
weird.
Hinky,
and you know what?
You know,
I know there are the celebrities, the top tier celebrities that sometimes do volunteer work and charity work, and they don't want credit for it. You don't hear about it.
Yeah.
But that not hearing about Will and Jada's work sounds to me like they're keeping it under the radar on purpose. If it
yeah,
has to
and
do
especially
with
if
overdrafts,
people, and if his people are going out and buying equipment for the people that are doing his career management as opposed to the charitable foundation, that might be an investigation. But I want to reiterate that this goes back to not just the bad behavior at the Oscars, but perhaps one of the most out of touch, we live in a celebrity bubble moments that has ever happened.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he had an opportunity at the Oscars, then he had an opportunity after the Oscars, then he had an opportunity months after, and they blew it because they are so used to having smoke blown up their ass that they didn't process it or do it correctly. That's the way they rolled.
I've stopped donating.
Well, you never like to give to shady mental health organizations.
Well, I was also, but he was paying for my bank overdraft, so it all came back.
Now more bad behavior. The investigation into Sean Diddy Combs has put a spotlight on a few other celebrities, including Prince Harry. Now, nobody's accusing him of anything, but his name came up in the $30 million lawsuit filed against Diddy by music producer Rodney Jones. Jones is accusing Diddy of sexual abuse, and in court papers, he talked about Diddy's alleged trafficking parties. That's weird, man.
Odd.
And his access to famous and important people, including Harry. Now, Cuba Gooding Jr. doesn't get off quite as easy. An amended version of Rodney's lawsuit filed on Monday accuses Cuba of sexual assault. And it is Cuba, right? Not Cuba.
I think it is Cuba, yeah.
Cuba. Mm-hmm. Jones says that Cuba, quote, began touching, groping, and fondling his legs, his upper inner thighs near his groin, and the small of his back near his buttocks, and his shoulders. This happened last June on a yacht.
So Cuba was, forgive me, but Cuba was fondling a guy?
Yeah. And
wow.
On a yacht that was rented by Diddy.
How about that?
I don't know about that. a couple more updates on the story. Diddy's alleged drug and gun mule was arrested by the feds, and Diddy sold all his shares in Revolt TV. Do you know anything about that? About Revolt TV?
I've never even heard of that. I guess it's a streamer?
I don't know how it's relevant. It doesn't say in the story what the deal is. So,
Do you have any details on my favorite aspect of the story?
What's that?
King!
Yes, the son.
Yes,
King. I don't take these cuffs off me. Going through my dad's papers?
Hey, King, do you know anything about Revolt TV?
All I know is my dad is not guilty. Not guilty of anything. You want to ask me who I am?
Who are you?
I'm Diddy's son, King. Thank you.
Oh, a show for one.
You know, as a matter of fact, when they kicked the... I hope not. I hope there's still
no,
Larry.
No, I think there's a lot of people.
I hope there are Larry fans out there. When they kicked the door in, the FBI came in. I believe that King was the first one to see them.
Yeah.
And he said to him, why are you doing this? Don't do this.
And then when they said what was going on, he said, whoa.
Whoa. Raise your hand if you knew it was Quirky Country Song Titles Day.
No, I thought
anyone?
That fell.
Ferris? Anyone?
I thought that fell in June.
No, you didn't.
I don't know anything about it.
No one knew. mark it on your calendars. This might be the most important day all year. I'll tell you what it is. It's the most important story to put in here because I love it.
Okay.
It's a day that we can finally celebrate great titles. Titles like Dirty Old Egg-Sucking Dog by Johnny Cash. Or Sick'em,
I know that song.
Or Sick'em on a Chicken by the Zac Brown Band.
Okay, that's more
modern.
I got
five of them for you. Here are some more quirky titles. Let me see. Okay, I'll go from one to five because that's the order it should be in. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd That's Roger Miller.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
I know that one, yeah.
My head hurts, my feet stink, and I don't love Jesus by Jimmy Buffett. Did you ever hear that title?
No, I never have, but then I'm not a big Buffett guy.
This is one by Alan Jackson. It should have won a Pulitzer. I still like baloney. That's Alan Jackson. Tim McGraw, wonderful actor, great country artist. Do you want fries with that? Never
Smart.
Heard that one. I'd like to hear all these songs. And Finally, at number five, last but not least, You're the Reason Our Kids Are Ugly by Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty.
I think I've heard that one. Mike, I'm surprised one did not make the top five by one of my favorite artists, Ray Stevens.
Yes.
And I actually had to bring it up, so I got it right. Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick-dissolving, fast-acting, pleasant-tasting green and purple pills.
It's, you know, Ray Stevens.
Still alive.
Still probably working in Branson. Would I be accurate with that?
I would think so. That's a great guess.
Never a fan.
Really?
Never
Not even Guitarzan?
No. Never
Ahab
liked the...
Ahab the Arab?
No. Never liked the overdone country accent. It just was too cartoonish to me.
Yeah,
I
do.
Roger Miller, though, big fan. Huge fan.
Great guitarist, Roger Miller.
Yeah. I get why we say this about our dog or cat, but an inanimate object, not so much. 51% of Americans say they think their car is a part of the family.
What?
Look, you know that back in the day, when you rolled in your Caprice Classics, you had an emotional attachment to that automobile.
I loved that car, but I would never call it a part of the family.
The poll found 53% of us would hang on to our current car forever if that was an option. Do you feel that way about your Subaru?
I love my Subaru. I adore it. There's only one car I've ever owned that I wish I could have preserved, and that was my Tahoe. I loved that Tahoe.
So you had a relationship with that. You would have kept it if it was
running and
in good shape.
Because I had the option to repair it, and we let it go. I mean, I don't think it was that important. It was my favorite, but I wouldn't call it a family member.
Well, the number one reason for this is not emotional. It's financial. That's why people would hang on. So if this says it's good enough for me, I think this is legit when they say it like that, because you would agree that it's probably 50-50 in the United States, car people and non-car people. People that think of it as reliable transportation, and people that are car people, that like me and Oscar, you know, that dig it all the time.
As long as I know that I can go down there and turn the key or press the button and it gets me where I got to go.
You're happy about that.
I'm happy about it.
80% of us are trying to keep our current car going as long as possible. I get that. We're probably going to do that with one of our cars, but I am a car person. There's not a day that goes by where I am not looking, lusting after other cars that are out there. But most people don't want to spend money on a new one. Here are five more reasons we don't want to replace it. Reliability, fairly reliable. And if you like a car, I inherited my wife's car, and I think it's amazingly reliable. I really do. Outside of tires, I haven't had issues with that car, and I'm thrilled with that.
It's 58%. It's the Barbie Corvette, isn't it?
It's the Barbie Corvette, and how can you get away from the color?
It makes your eyes sink.
It gets me noticed, you know?
That's what you want?
Gas mileage at 45%. 45% of people want to hold on to it because of gas mileage. That makes sense. I love this list.
It does.
Number three, there's just no way I could afford a new car right now with inflation and car prices. Brand new cars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anybody can deal with it right now.
No.
Unless you're, you know, in the 1%. Number four, fond memories. There's the emotional factor.
Yeah.
Like a road trip or family vacation, only 24% said
or flipping it on the Dulles Toll Road.
You no longer have that car, Rob. You totaled it.
I know. And that actually is the only reason I was able to afford a new car, because it was new and insured. So.
And number five, you just have an emotional attachment to your car. That's 22% of people. That said, most of us wouldn't go with the same car if we had to buy right now. Only a third say they buy the same make and model. Yeah, if you can afford to buy a new car, I think people like the new stuff. I change every day. I'm thinking about August every day. August is when my wife's lease is up. And I have not really plunged into the process, but man, oh man, I saw one yesterday. It's an electric car. It's the iX. Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
So you have no interest in replacing what you're currently driving with a newer model of the same car?
Hell no. I'm all, you know, I look, let's be honest, Rob. I got probably fewer years on this planet, even with your liver situation, than you do.
Oh,
I'm looking like, how many more chances am I going to get to really enjoy a ride, right? To get out there and really dig it. That's the way I probably.
Do you really think you want an electric car, though? I think that it would not suit you.
I'll tell you what I love about the incarnation of a lot of these electric cars. I love the horsepower. And I love the idea of not getting into an altercation with an 85-year-old dipstick at a gas station that has an 8-mile-long line. I've had it with that. And the bottom line financially about not going in and filling up. But horsepower, not needing gas, more reliable, nice little range, and super cool to look at inside.
And quiet in case you need to sneak up on somebody.
But insanely expensive brand new. So what I'm doing now is every night before I go to bed in my underwear, I do what I call the depreciation dance. Go down in prices, go down in prices. Finally today, the online gambling site BetUS is looking to hire, well, let me see if he's back in yet. Mac, are you back in the studio yet?
I am.
Mac.
Yes.
BetUS is looking for a wiener connoisseur.
Sign me up.
They want to
look out.
They want you to visit all 30 major league ballparks and check out the wieners at each one. You'll get to taste test dozens of hot dogs, but they don't really care how good they are. They just want you to measure each wiener to see which major league club has the biggest and the smallest. You know, Rob, listen, as a foodie.
Yeah.
Don't you think it really shouldn't be that criteria?
It should be flavor and preparation.
100%.
I know for a fact, though, when you're talking size, though, that the Dodger dog was modeled after Tommy Lasorda.
Who was a known swordsman. Once you get your hand on one, you'll need to measure the length, diameter, or girth. And also how heavy it is.
Yes.
It's not a full-time gig, Mac, but they also don't expect you to handle all these wieners for free. They buy the game tickets, travel is covered, and you get $2,500. They'll also toss in a $500 gift card for MLBShop.com. It probably should go to a baseball fan.
You can buy a hat.
Oh, you also, Mac, you get a subscription to MLB TV. Isn't that cool?
Fantastic.
You can also
I will watch that all the time.
You apply on their website between now and April 18th. Just enter your name and email, then write a short pitch for why you're the most qualified person to measure wieners. Remember when I auditioned to be the Red Sox spring training announcer?
Yeah, of course.
I took my kid to 2 spring training games, and I would love to take you back to that stadium, Rob, simply for you to hear, as someone who has worked PA multiple times in his career, to hear what I think is probably the most atrocious PA system. When you're behind home plate and you hear that guy who has the voice like this, the Red Sox would. And I go back there, and this is exactly how it sounds. All right?
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
Okay.
Red Sox family would like to make sure that you don't get down.
We'd like to take a now here's Rafi Devers.
Horrifying. Horrifying. And I can the worst PA I've heard is at the Richmond Squirrels.
A minor league ballpark, which essentially is the Red Sox spring training ballpark.
Right, and they're rebuilding, so I hope they up the quality of the PA, but they have a lady announcer, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But she did this thing where she asked everyone to stand up, and I heard it wrong, and what she wanted to do was everyone sit down except people that have had active military service.
Did you stay standing?
And I remained standing. And Carrie said, "It's not funny." I said, "Why did you sit down? We're supposed to stand." And then I'm standing up there. There's literally a guy with his shirt safety pinned to his, because he's lost an arm in the military.
Oh, dear.
It's like 5 rows in front of me.
And there you are, stolen valor in the middle of the stadium.
I have to apologize to all those who walked before me.
It was
bad PA. That's
absolutely
all it is.
Yeah. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, finally, I wanted to get to this. Things we don't need. I've been giving that an awful lot of thought down here. Do you really need it? And now this doesn't necessarily exclusively apply to things that are frivolous. Might be things that you really think you need that maybe you don't. And of course, we are not experts, which you can look forward to. We'll be right back. Are you ready to finally get down to the weight you've always wanted? I got on the scale today, and I record my weight usually, I wouldn't say probably 3-4 times a week, maybe two. If I'm having a bad time, then I know it's going to be
write
up,
it on your,
put it down.
You write it on your brace, don't you?
No, I write it in Sharpie on the kitchen wall. Let's go, everybody. DermGlowSkin.com is the ultimate destination for conquering your extra pounds. Just take a quick quiz on the website and discover if you qualify. Experienced doctors will prescribe the right medication, and your weight loss solution will be delivered directly to your doorstep. If you're tired of waiting due to low stocks and you say, oh, we don't have it, DermGlow ensures that you're connected with well-supplied doctors, eliminating any delays. People are raving about it. Reviews like this. Listen, it's life-changing. It's a game-changer. 5 stars all the way. Another thing about these medications, I have found myself being much more aware of when and when I'm not going to gain, whether I'm going to be flat, whether I might be up a little bit, and whether I'm going to be down. I knew for a fact that I would be down with my weight today, and it helps you do that, too. I'm so happy. I'm really, really thrilled with it. Please get involved with this. Go to DermGlow Skin. It's right there on the website. Click on the weight loss button and kick off the best journey of your lifetime. A lot of our listeners are doing this, and we're grateful that you can be involved just like I've been involved today. 85 pounds, ladies and gentlemen.
That's so much weight. Wow.
With DermGlow, you can do it. Now, I wanted to talk about down here right after Hurricane Ian, and it really has wreaked havoc. I'm not a big person for saying, you know, poor insurance companies, but it's really destroyed the insurance industry down here. And
they knew what they were getting into.
When the couple of hurricanes ago, that's what we can say down here on the tip of Florida, I became aware from my next door neighbor that insurance companies were denying claims for roofs. And roofing is a massive endeavor down here in Southwest Florida. And so
how can they deny a claim for a roof?
They can, simply for a variety of reasons. Say it's not, the structure is not damaged, blah, blah, blah. Way back when, this is my old house, my neighbor, who was an attorney, said, you know, the company we used fought this, and they went to the attorneys of the insurance companies, and they did battle, and they have an in-house, the roofing company, an in-house insurance company. And they'll get you covered like they did with me, and you'll get a roof that is completely covered by insurance. I bring that up because that's not always the case. And the cost of putting a new roof on your house down here has gone up, I want to say 40, 60, 3 to maybe 4 times.
Wow.
It's stunning how much it's gone up. And I thought about all the products down here that you see. And the ads that you see locally down here, Rob, most often are roofing companies and window companies.
Yeah.
Hurricane windows, Storm Smart, all these places. And it made me
Does the window ads, do they increase after a weather event?
Oh, yeah. Because
yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I'm always thinking, as I'm looking at my, I think this house was built in 2006, and I'm looking outside, and, you know, those windows. And I looked and I said, in days of old, when a house was built, and in this particular house, you're talking about block construction.
Yeah.
This is cinder block walls with, you know, aluminum, steel windows popped in, and I'm looking at them like
rows of houses that are identical on your street.
Identical.
Boom, 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 boom.
And when I think of the roofs, which in my part of the world, most of them are tile down here. There are a lot of shingle roofs, but most of them are tile. And it got me to thinking, you know, in a really normal situation, if you were like the prairie man and you were out there in the forest building your own
Charles Ingalls.
Building your own house. Mm-hmm. When do you think you would repair or replace the roof? What do you think your criteria would
when be? It no longer protects you from the elements. If it's leaking, your sun is coming through it.
Right?
Yeah.
And that I just was sitting there. I'm out in the backyard, and I'm looking at the windows, and I'm thinking, well, no water coming in. And I'm thinking up there. But down here, man, you see what appear to be perfectly good roofs all the time. Now listen. You could get an industry spokesperson to come on this show and probably talk to me blue in the face to say you're wrong.
Johnny Roof.
That if you let it go, it'll end up being a bigger problem. What, you'll have to replace a piece of drywall on your ceiling? That's Do you get what I'm saying with this?
Yeah, I just wonder. They instill urgency in you that doesn't need to be there.
Which is what other companies do that.
I applaud them mm-hmm. for doing it because it's smart business.
Right.
But we look stupid if we buy into it. The whole fact that a roof doing his job as a roof is something that people really need to consider. It's valid. If a window's not broken, if it's keeping people out, if you can lock it, it's still a good window. It's doing its job.
Yeah. So I wonder about that. And, I have, before I got out of it, the old 1903 home up in Maine.
Yes.
Had the original windows and probably in most of the spots has the original. Are they in S shape? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Long overdue. But I'm telling you, this is a house that was built,
120 years ago.
120 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm down here and it's like they come down here. They're retired, a lot of people, and the fear. But I'm just saying, does anybody anymore really think enough about, do you really need it? And I guarantee you nobody's asking that question down
here. No, you know what? I get a lot of knocks on my door from a guy who appears to be about 19, Slicky Boy, and he says, hey, we were just out inspecting the roofs in your neighborhood and thought we'd drop by. Your neighbor over there asked us to come out. You want us to get up on your roof and take a look? I said, what do you want me to do, just write you a check? Because I know it's not going to be okay. You're going to find something.
Now, when you said that, you say you know it's not going to be okay, you have a townhouse with a shingle roof, correct?
I do, indeed.
And the amount of weather activity. The house was built when, do you think? Do you know when your house was built?
I think 2006.
2006, right around the same time this one was built. Mm-hmm. And to the best of your knowledge, it has never been through a tornado, right?
No, of course not.
It has been through probably storms, of course, every
snow.
Home.
We've
so when you say it's probably a, do you know that for sure?
We have had actually one repair after a tremendous thunderstorm.
Was it because there was a leak?
No, it was because I saw shingles missing when I looked at the roof.
And
I said, that can't be good.
You need it.
And you know what?
You need a shingle replaced.
It wasn't a whole roof.
Right.
It was 10 shingles.
Down here on a regular basis, and I see roofs being ripped off the top of houses, and I see, you know what I see under it? Pristine, unmarked, brand new plywood.
Yep.
That's what I see.
Dry as a bone.
Now, is that always the case? Of course not. No. Are there exceptions? There are multiple. Are there legitimate roofing companies that come out and do an inspection and say, but it falls into need, all this stuff with need. Is there anything on your mind that you think, and I'm not talking about frivolous, fun stuff that do you really need that watch? Because we don't need, or do you really need that car? I'm talking about
something that's
pitched like you. This is essential to your living.
They'll come to you when you're having anything done to your car, and they'll say, wow, how long since you've changed your cabin filter?
Okay.
And I'll say, I don't believe I've ever changed my cabin filter.
Right.
Do you know that's essential for purifying the air that comes into your car? And I said, so if it wasn't doing his job, I would, smell things and get out of my car lightheaded? My car cabin filter is fine.
It's interesting you say that.
Why?
I requested it.
But did you need it? If you needed it.
Well, if you consider firing up my wife's car,
Yeah.
Smelled like perhaps the corpse of Bela Lugosi was in the engine compartment.
Okay, then, so perhaps, you needed it. But I'm talking about a car.
Yeah, I get it.
I purchased 15 months ago.
Yes.
And it smelled. Robert's girlfriend, Blakeland, got in my car the last time she was here. She says, God, this thing still smells brand new. I said, exactly.
Right.
And because, you know, I don't eat it and don't do anything that's going to take that smell. But still, it's got to be on that. And it always comes from, you know, since you're in here, Mr. Spiewak, we're going to give you our courtesy 40-point quality check.
Sure.
And okay, so you need the cabin filter? And that's one. There's a dozen little
cars
things.
Cars are absolutely that realm.
And
of,
they work on
do you
fear.
Need this?
They work on fear because most people, myself included, don't know if, you know, what's the deal with brake fluid? If they say you need to change your brake fluid, change
now,
it.
Now, Rob, you're moving from the land of, I got but you with it, but brake fluid, perhaps an essential tool to your safety.
But here's
Mr.
the deal.
Mr. Roll the car.
Mike, the fact that I don't know about brake fluid has nothing to do with the fact that I blacked out and rolled a car. They are separate incidences. But
we'll go with that.
Carrie had the Kia in last weekend, and they called and they had a list of things that needed to be done.
Yeah.
And they were all marked. You could get a green check, and that's good. And you can get a yellow mark, and that's, we better look at it. And then you can get a red X. So we had the red X's repaired. And then one of the yellow things was new brakes. You need new brakes.
Yep.
And I called Justin at the dealership. Hey, Mr. Spiewak. He knows me because we go there all the time because I'm rolling cars. And he said, about the brakes, he said, yeah, they're showing signs of wear. I said, are they unsafe? He said, no. I said, when were they going to be unsafe? He says, maybe 30, 40,000 more miles on them, but you got to think about it. But I would have, without consideration, just said, I've got a yellow mark by my brakes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So he's not lying. He's not lying that they're showing wear, but they have that subtle way of saying you need it when, in fact, I'll need it in about a year and a half.
How many miles on your car?
The Kia has 126, I think.
Is that the car that needs the brakes?
Yeah, but it's the second time for brakes.
Second time for brakes.
Yeah.
That's 120?
Yeah, I think.
60,000? That's not bad.
Yeah, and the Kia has been a wonderful car. It really, really has, and we've put it through hell.
Let me give you one last example, because we
got a break. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
This is the one, and most people, in fairness, I believe most people say nay to this.
Nar? But
this will crack you up. I take my kid to our favorite sporting goods store, because I like to say the name, Dick's. So we go into Dick's, and he needs a new bat. His bat's too small. Played Little League 3-4 years ago.
Like a fruit bat something like
bat,
that.
Bat, like a baseball bat.
Baseball bat.
Needs a baseball bat. Wants his own baseball bat. Phenomenally expensive, to be perfectly honest with you. We're at the counter. Paying
wood
for the bat.
Wood or aluminum?
Oh, aluminum. Aluminum.
Oh, okay.
And we're at the counter, and just about to check out. She goes, do you want the $20 protection plan?
I said, a baseball bat.
On an aluminum bat. So, you know, do you need it? Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. If your son, you know, goes out and goes to an historical site, we were just talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. If he goes to Fort McHenry and, you know, stands in front of a cannon and they fire it, you know, that might bend that thing right in half. And then it's covered.
They always counter with this. It's covered under any incident.
Yeah,
anything.
She didn't say that. Thank God.
Aluminum bat. What?
You know what I said when she said that?
What?
I looked her dead. The young girl with the nose piercing. I looked her dead in the eye and I said, "Really?" She just moved on. Just moved on to the transaction. So
would
think about what you really need.
Would you like a coverage plan for this bat? I don't know about that.
Rob, dealer's choice when we come back. We can either do the Mark Twain Award or we can do the McDonald's news. What do you think you want to do?
I think McDonald's news is key.
Big Mickey D's news coming up next on the Mike O'Meara Show. Discovering quality kids' clothes just got easier because Caden Lane has cracked the code. Founded in 2005 by a single mom with a passion for creating better and cuter clothing, accessories, and keepsakes, Caden Lane is on a mission to make moms' lives easier. Caden Lane is more than just hype. They have over 70,000 five-star reviews. 70,000.
Wow.
And millions of satisfied customers. Already thinking about summer? Caden Lane's new swim collection is here for worry-free fun in the sun. Keep your little darling sensitive skin safe with their UPF 50-plus sun protection swimwear. We used to put Michael in that all the time. And the Color Me pajamas allow kids to color their own PJs.
So cool.
Caden Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. They're adorable. Head to CadenLane.com/TMOS and use the code TMOS for 20% off your order. Again, make sure you use the promo code TMOS. It's on Rob's hat right there. They know we send you when you do that type of thing.
Yes.
We would appreciate that. Okay, fat people.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. There is big news.
Now, I like McDonald's okay. It's not my favorite fast food destination, but this, I think, could be a game changer because one of my favorite things that McDonald's does as a fat guy is the breakfast. I love McDonald's breakfast. Hash browns are great. Yeah.
I believe that it's not perfect, but it certainly is all-encompassing. You cannot beat an Egg McMuffin for a satisfying, balanced breakfast product.
I remember when you were on one of your previous diets 1,000 years ago called The Zone.
Yes.
And The Zone said an Egg McMuffin is a perfectly balanced food item.
Not wouldn't go so far as to call it a superfood.
No, like blackberries, kale, beets.
But no, I will knock out an Eggy Muffin. There was some, I forgot what the people that did it. It was some recording artist that they were doing a riff on, and they were doing some kind of takeoff, and he called it Egg-a-Muffin.
Yeah, Brad and I have always called it Egg-a-Muffin.
Egg-a-Muffin.
I don't know what, yeah.
It's from Fire, is it Fire Sign Theater?
Could be Fire Sign Theater, yeah.
Fire Sign Theater. What do you,
yeah.
What do you want? Egg-a-Muffin.
Egg-a-Muffin.
And it was, you know, it's good food.
So the breakfast at McDonald's is strong, but it's about to get stronger because after a 160-location test, they have announced that in 2026, McDonald's has the exclusive right to sell Krispy Kreme donuts.
Really?
Yeah. Brought really? In fresh every day.
Oh, my
And God. I think, honestly, that the Krispy Kreme donut is one of the most perfect confections ever made. And if
this
you've
will
ever
be
had
Rob
warm,
the first day they bring it to Leesburg.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
Yeah. The only
How's this working with the is the McDonald's, is there a financial marriage between the two or what?
Yes, and they had to actually, after the test and they agreed that it worked, Krispy Kreme is using the next 2 years to really advance their production and their supply chain because it's going to drive their sales through the roof. Because Krispy Kreme, though fantastic, are not that easy to get. If you want them fresh, you got to go to the store. And sometimes you'll see them at a gas station. Or
they won't they do be a manufacturing lot of them like they do
no.
at the regular.
No, but they'll bring them in the fresh on a daily basis, and they'll only sell them till they run out. So they will be daily supplied. The three flavors they're getting are the original Krispy Kreme, of course,
okay.
which is great.
Yeah.
Chocolate iced with sprinkles. I think that's a misstep. Mm. And the chocolate iced cream filled, and that's K-R-E-M-E, so it doesn't have to have any dairy in it. But okay. that's a good donut, too. What would be better is if they replaced, and I've thought about this, the chocolate iced with sprinkles with the raspberry jelly. The best donut ever invented.
Don't eat that too fast, Rob Spiro.
What do I do?
I have to ask you this. Yeah, well, you're on a subject that now I can go crazy with. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
I don't know if it's in the story or not. Will they be available hot, which is a massive thing for Krispy Kreme donuts?
No, because they're delivered. And they'll be hot when, you know, they're hot only at the location. That's
they
the
can't
only place you-
throw a Krispy Kreme for 30 seconds in a microwave?
If you do, you risk the problem of glaze coming off the donut.
Yeah, but I microwave my
I know,
donut.
But that's not for service. They're going to be served fresh. And you know what? If they are day of donuts, they're going to be great. but they're not going to be hot.
He's the expert, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Krispy Kreme donuts at McDonald's. What do you think, Don?
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants or fire a rocket?
There you go. It's
all fantastic. I know is this, Mike. I've never sat in a car with you and eaten a dozen of them.
Yes. And then Oscar passed out. Remember that?
He did. He called us trouble.
Food coma. Yeah. On the super slab. 95 going down to Florida.
Backseat of a brand new Suburban going. Oh.
Basically when this show was born.
That's
we'll
right.
Be right back with the flip side, ladies and gentlemen. I'm drinking it right now. I'm drinking
attaboy.
The peach. I don't want to be controversial here, but I may have replaced peach with my lemon lime. Replaced lemon lime with my peach. I like the flavor so much.
You are such a fickle person. Yeah. Look
tomorrow
at you. You have no
green
loyalty.
Grape. It could be green grape tomorrow.
Look at
whether you.
Whether you
hydrate Twizy. To live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. I have a golf bag stuffed with those sticks of Liquid IV, and I share them with my pals. Three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV does it all. A single delicious stick, no sugar, no artificial sweeteners, non-GMO, and free from gluten.
Gluten is not in this thing called the Liquid IV.
Free from dairy, free from soy. Try white peach, green grape, or my favorite, lemon lime. They actually have I don't know if they're test driving it, but they got like a raspberry melon.
Heard about it. Strong.
It's all right. Actually, I love them all. You will too. Grab my Pizza Hut cup. Sorry. My
and
cup.
And your hat. And your Pizza Hut hat. It's a visor.
And I'm off to the races. So good. So easy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMO at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Hello.
Mike,
yes.
Let's do the flipper.
All right. There we go.
Let's go. We're Florida heavy today. I hope you're okay with that.
Hey, it's where I live. Why not?
Do you love Jacksonville? Great city.
I think that Jacksonville has its merits, but it's also, I hate to be nasty about a city, but it's also just a bit stinky.
Okay. Well, they also are the home of the Action Jacks news team.
Oh, okay. Action Jacks is what they call them?
Action Jacks. Yeah, okay. J-A-X. And this story is a fascinating story on its own about an ordnance that was found, a military-grade bomb that was found in a neighborhood. But
oh, not like a a city ordnance. It's actually ordnance.
Ordnance, yes. Okay. And this is so poorly covered in every way that it makes me take my hat off, takes my Pizza Hut cap off to local news. Just plain powerful reporting.
Okay,
is this live? You panic and then you drop.
Turn it up, Mac.
That's what was going on through Matthew Sims' mind when he found this. An unexploded military weapon in his backyard Wednesday, located at 15th Street E. Sims told us that he didn't want to be on camera, but says he was in his backyard when he saw something sticking out the ground.
You couldn't really tell what it was until you started to pull
great
it up.
Great camera
and
work.
Then once I got it like halfway out, I was like, oh, I know what this is. Let me just gently put this back down.
According to the police report, Sims' dog was digging in the backyard and helped discover it, but clearly found more than a bone.
Matthew Sims was in the backyard playing with his dog, Baby, when he wanted to make sure that she wasn't picking up anything that she wasn't supposed to. And he wound up in this area when he found a rusted object. He pulled it up and quickly realized that it was a military ordnance.
Ordnance is a military term for ammunition
and weapons.
It's
a big bomb.
Sim says it was about a foot long and believe it weighed around 10 pounds. The object has been buried for some time based on the decay, according to the police report.
It was like
another shot of the microphone.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It is scary, but if you have, and also if you watch the whole report, there's one fact he might have missed is whether or not it was dangerous.
Yeah.
He didn't say whether it was live or not. And so
right.
Just here to the Action Jacks news team.
All right, hold on.
If you were lucky enough, all of a sudden.
What is it? Well, it's rusty. Hold on. Let me get a little closer. That's a hold it. Get that piece of mud. Let me scrape the mud off of it. All right.
Of the bomb.
It says U S Army.
Poor lady, the dog.
Thank you very much.
So yeah. Sad. And, if you were ever lucky.
Time to give the windscreen a bath, too.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, absolutely. My God.
Maybe it needs a new cabin filter.
It's just me in here. Yeah. Oh,
I know. If you were ever lucky enough, and I mean, who could be, to score tickets to The View, wouldn't you want.
I know. You and I, if we were in New York, course, somebody gave us tickets, we would go in a heartbeat.
But would you be videotaping? Would you use your camera to videotape The View while you're watching The View?
They probably, I would imagine, make it rather clear that that is frowned upon, right?
Well, Whoopi doesn't care.
Did she fart?
No, better than that. She yells at the guy. But my favorite part of this is Joy Behar just watching, has no clue what's going on.
Okay.
Ah, and there's a Caden Lane.
Hold on, sir. What's that? I have to stop you with the camera, because I can see you. So do me a favor, don't pull it out again. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was on air.
What was he doing?
And then Joy Behar says, "What was he doing?"
Joy just
you can kill it, Mac.
Can I watch it one more time? Just I want to watch the dynamic of this from the beginning. I just want to kind of see how it develops. And here we go. Just rewind it or start it from the beginning. Caden Lane commercial. That's okay.
You sure you just don't want
to
end?
This is about a 10 show that just came to a freaking
I can't get it
halt.
Back.
Do you want? Right. You sure you don't want to end now? Just kidding.
I'd love to have one last thing to just take a bite out of the apple after that debacle. That was just. Look,
no one will hear it. No one's
going to hear it. But leave this in, folks. We just had an edit that we had to do because it was a cluster F. It was funny. If this was live, we'd be in a lot of trouble. All right. Last
just
little thing.
Thank you for paying attention, Joy Behar. Now, did you ever, as a boy or a young man, have a metal detector?
No. I don't know if I ever used. I know I used one once. I used somebody else's once. I'd love to. Be fun.
I know that a metal detector was one of the big movers when we used to have Radio Shack, but call out the radio, I'm sorry, the metal detecting squad. They came and they served and they succeeded.
A group of metal detector enthusiasts in North Carolina recently helped a woman find her wedding ring after she lost it in the sand on a beach. And that will be the last time a metal detector enthusiast ever sees a wedding ring.
Yes, we found the ring. We found it.
I love it. Hold on, let me look over here.
Yeah. Oh, no. What is that, Mike?
Wait a minute. X E X P explode.
Wow.
Oh, explosive. Oh. Hey, we got to get out of here. We'll be back
Paul
with a brand
Action
new episode.
Action Jacks.
Yes, Action Jacks at Jacksonville's Best News. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana and Michael McIntosh. Hey, Mac.
Yes, Mike.
Do you have to go right back to moving today?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get a good night's sleep tonight, perhaps?
Hopefully.
Okay, I really hope so. You know?
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Look, I know you work for Podville. You don't work for me. You come in and help us out. Thank you, Podville Media. But, you know, if you can, no, I know you can't. You can't tell the boss that you want to go home early to get some sleep, can you?
No, that's sort of an issue in the
God,
past.
No.
Yeah, maybe
issue.
Tonight try some melatonin.
Right. You know, I understand that Rob Ford came into the office at 2 a.m. today, and he'll be going home at midnight tonight. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
Oh, you left out a bunch of stuff.
You lost again.